The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are tuning in to We the People Radio. Yet another exciting episode. It's less exciting today, though, because our guest is in the studio, so we don't have any of that usual phone fun that I know you all look forward to. So let's see. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And we're here with our guest.
I'm Patrick Jones. Thank you.
See, you have to know what everybody's voice sounds like. People are like, why do you guys do it like that? Oh, well, otherwise you wouldn't know who's who. So let's see. We're talking about guns today, which is good, except when you live in California and we're talking about guns, the reason we're talking about them is because they're sort of fading out as a distant memory.
Yeah, there's something
in
of
a
the
time
past.
When we had the Second Amendment and we used to be able to possess firearms, and I don't know.
You can still get a BB gun.
Not for long.
Well, that's
Red
true.
Riders on the black bolt.
If it holds more than one BB,
he's probably got
a
bullet
button. He's
probably got a bullet button.
Well, this is the kinds of things that we've warned about for the last 20 years in California, and it's now starting to be quite noticeable. And so we've got a lot of Senate bills and Assembly bills coming up. This year is an electric year because it's a presidential year where folks are most likely going to be turning out in higher than normal numbers to vote. And so we have a lot of bills with a lot of significance. And all of these new laws are designed to affect law-abiding gun ownership. That's what they do. They will not, and we can prove that they will not change criminal behavior at all. They never have. They never will. And they're directed right at stripping you, the law-abiding citizen, of your gun rights. So very destructive, and people shouldn't be tolerating it. We're right in the middle of a battle. We're losing the battle here in California about gun rights. The Constitution is being trampled on, and we're not doing anything about it.
Well, and at the end of the day, we air Sundays from noon to 2 here in Northern California on KCNR 1460 AM, and then Saturdays from 2:30 to 4. The show replays commercial-free out on the Conservative Commandos radio network at WNJC 1360. So we have folks in Philadelphia and New Jersey who will be listening to this show. And, we have folks who tune in.
It gives them something to look forward to. Because
exactly.
as goes California.
Right.
I don't know how much longer that's going to be.
And then all
true.
Those people online that listen, and they're thinking, I know at the beginning here, people are thinking, oh, they're going to talk about the disaster they've made for themselves in California. It's like, you should probably wise up because it's coming for you next.
Well, and we can talk a little bit throughout the show about how it's got to this point. How did we let it happen? And, when you look back 15 to 20 years ago and you start seeing the groundwork being laid for things to come, and each year as more legislation is passed and more laws are introduced and they become effective, they have calming techniques, they have all kinds of tools to keep the public calm through the process.
What's a calming technique?
A calming technique. So when you pass a bill, you don't make it go effective January 1st of that year. You make it go effective in, say, 2 years. And people say, well, I can get this or that in that time period, so it'll be okay. I'll get what I need. Well, sure, but your children and
you grandchildren. You mean like you can get the specific type of firearm they're
correct.
Looking at banning?
Well, plus it stops the whole panic and rush and
correct.
Instant.
Well, it also leads people to believe they might be able to turn it back before it goes into effect.
Well,
actually a pretty smart tactic.
Yeah, and so they do things like that, and it creeps up on you. In California today, we're under attack. They're trying to do the old split, divide and conquer. And today, what they're looking at is a new term, and we've used all kinds of terms in California, but the new term is unsafe, deeming something unsafe, and that you can't possess it any longer.
And what else do we call it? What kind of?
Well, it's just a new term. We've had terms like Saturday night specials and assault weapons negative connotations. But now we have a new term, unsafe. You are unsafe. One of the bills that's being talked about. And, in fact, I think Gavin Newsom has even got the signatures now, and I think the California voters will be voting on this come this November, is the ban on any magazine, a detachable magazine of any caliber, that holds more than 10 rounds, you will no longer be able to possess, even though you've owned them for maybe your entire life, and maybe that's the only magazine that fits and feeds your firearm. You cannot possess them. You must turn them in. It is unsafe for you to own. Now, this is a huge test case where we're certain it'll be litigated and it'll go before the state Supreme Court. But the reality is, what it does is it tests the waters to see if the state can take something from you. They say they will reimburse you at a government code offer, of course, but that's not the point.
Yeah, I was going to ask, if I've got to go turn in, you know, half a dozen magazines, are they going to pay me for those? Because I had to pay money for them.
You did, but they will pay you what they're currently worth today, and because outside of California, they're still being made and manufactured, and there's no real restrictions on them outside of California in most cases, they have low value. They have great value in California because they've been banned for purchase here since 2000. So for those of us that have them prior to 2000, we covet those. We hang on to those. They have to last us the rest of our life. They're very valuable to us. And they're not for sale at any price. And we're not going to turn them in. We're not going to move out of state. They're simply going to make us criminals. And that's a felony. A felony.
What are the odds that people actually just go down there? And how has this worked elsewhere?
Well, again, this is fairly new. Confiscation, you'd have to go back to maybe Germany in the 1930s.
Right.
And people usually will fall in line. And here's why, because it is a felony if you're caught in possession, and it's pretty slam dunk. I mean, if you've got it in your hands and an officer, any enforcement officer sees that you have, it's illegal, you're in possession of it, doesn't matter whose it is, you're in possession, it's contraband, and you will have your day in court. And it's a slam dunk felony, and so that's pretty easy.
If you've got it, you're
if you possess it, and it holds more than 10 rounds. It could be 11 round magazines. Smith & Wesson has done a factory 11 round magazines. That will be a felony to possess that magazine.
And then that opens up the whole no longer able to own a firearm.
Well, then you get to the next step. If the state, and if it's deemed lawful that you cannot possess, that it's unsafe for you to possess a magazine greater than 10 rounds, then the state will have the ability to say other things are unsafe for you and you must turn in, say, the rifle or the handgun that feeds such. And that's where it's leading to. You start somewhere. This is where they start. This is a take back. This is a confiscation. You can't own this magazine any longer, even though they're mine and I've owned them for most of my life. And so it puts a lot of gun owners here in California at risk. And these are law-abiding owners. These are law-abiding people that have had these in their possession for a long time, and it puts them in a very bad position. And for a lot of us, we feel very strongly about it. And this is our product. This is our stuff. These are ours, and it's an integral part to the firearm. It's the heart of the feeding device for these types of guns. And when you ban that, you, in essence, ban the gun. And there are some guns where there is no other magazine for it.
Right,
and so in essence, you're banning certain guns,
and you can't just leave them in your safe or something like that. I mean, you're not allowed to.
Well,
actually,
you could, but it's still against the law. And if they catch you in possession, whatever way that
may
be,
felony.
It's a felony. Now you lose all your firearm rights, and you could go to prison.
Now there's different class. I know you're not an attorney or anything, but I think you know the answer.
You play one on TV though, right?
Yeah, he does. there's different classes of felonies. So if you're caught with a illegal magazine, is that felony strong enough to take away your firearms?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes.
And for how long?
So any rest of your life.
So you want to take that chance is what they're saying.
Right. Now, it is true that in this state, if you're convicted of a nonviolent felony and after you've served your time and your probation and all that is done, you can seek out an attorney. And in some cases, people get their firearm rights restored. It's difficult and time-consuming and costly. And I do have some customers that has happened. And they can even purchase firearms even still. But it's a costly, time-consuming thing. In general, when you're convicted of a felony in the state of California, you're done from buying ammunition and firearms. And that's all types of firearms. That's antiques. That's muzzleloaders. That's modern firearms for the rest of your life. It's a big deal. And the possession of just a magazine that holds 11 rounds now will get you to that point. And what a sad day it is for Californians. In this will be voted upon. And unfortunately, most of the voters in California are ignorant when it comes to the ramifications of what this means. They're going to describe it as the Safe Ammunition Act, or they'll have some catchy term, and they'll have a whole bunch of prominent people that will put their names behind it. And the vast majority of Californians will say, what do you need? I always love it when they say, what do you need a magazine greater than 10 rounds for? And that's not the point, because this is a step to the next step. Mm-hmm. And if you let them take this step, they will absolutely take the next step. These people are staunch anti-gunners. They don't believe in the Constitution. If they did, then you have the individual right to keep and bear arms, and it shall not be infringed. And they have infringed upon it now in California grossly for 30 years, and we're way down that track now. Soon, it will be time for people to act. It's what the Second Amendment was all about, is that if your government becomes tyrannical, the people have power with firearms. And they understand that in Sacramento. These are not stupid people. They're very liberal, and I dislike them greatly. But they understand about power and what the Second Amendment means, and stripping law-abiding people of those rights. It's super important to them.
Yeah, and they've not passed a lot of laws because of that as well.
Well,
there's been laws that haven't really gotten through the process, because even the left has found them to be a little bit too infringing.
It's true. You're probably right that more have failed than have passed. That is probably mm-hmm. true. The problem is
some of them were like extra crazy with little extra crazy on top. We need to take a really quick break. And there's plenty more where this came from. This will go on the whole time. That's dog scratching, just in case you wonder. But that was nobody's actually being bludgeoned. They've taken away our firearms. We're bludgeoning now. That'll be the next thing we have to give up, is our bludgeoning. Oh, my gosh. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
These days I go down to Walmart and they sell them in the back. Some people want to take them away. Why don't you go bust them boys that sell a track? Guns, whether Remingtons or Crocs. Come on, man, it ain't like I'm a slinging them. Listen, son, as long as I'm alive and breathing, you won't take my guns.
It's pretty clear. So what kind of percentage are we talking about that will take that route?
For their magazines?
Yeah, that they're just not going to comply. What do you think?
Well, first, for people that have high-capacity magazine, and a high-capacity detachable magazine is anything that holds more than 10 rounds, and so it could be an 11-rounder, a 13, a 15, a 20, a 30, whatever. And for a lot of us, we've legally owned these. We've purchased these prior to 2000, and for many guns, a high-capacity magazine is the only thing that fits them. Other guns, not necessarily the case. We've learned from past experience in California, from other bans, assault weapon bans mainly, that most people, they're not going to stand in line and turn these magazines into the government. And the government knows that. They don't really care. And they know they won't have to have stacks of cash to buy these magazines because, one, the government code officer offer will be very low. And two, they know people won't want to turn them in. I believe most people, if they're smart, they'll move them out of state so that they may still have access to them out of state. But I think the last thing you ought to do is turn them into a tyrannical government. In fact, if that's what they want, that is what they want, that is what you should not do, and there's probably good reason to do just that. For some guns, a 10-round magazine, you know, will have to work for now. It's sad that we will have to accept that we have to accept the government telling us that a 10-round magazine is appropriate, because, like New York, now it's 7 rounds, and pretty soon it's 5 rounds. And
well, I was just going to say that.
I was going to ask you where else this was happening.
No, it's going to go down to 5 rounds.
Right. Pretty soon, you can't have a detachable magazine is where it's headed. And it's unsafe for you to have any type of gun that has a detachable magazine, because you could do something very bad with it, as Governor Schwarzenegger used to say. And don't want you to do something bad now, could we? Couldn't happen.
No.
So, you know, it's a bad thing that's happening, then you're going to get a vote on this. But unfortunately, for up here in Northern California, where that won't pass here, it will pass in the Bay Area and Southern California. Most people will say again, what do you need a large magazine for? And it isn't about that. What do you need, you know, for those people? Why do you need a 5,000 square foot house? Why do you need a car that has 500 horsepower? Well, because we're Americans and we're free and we buy and we do what we want to do.
Yeah.
We don't need the government to tell us every aspect of our
lives.
Well,
besides that, the pretense of all this is that it helps with crime. I mean, that's the total false premise, because no criminals, zero criminals, are turning these in.
It's an absolute lie, and unfortunately, the vast majority of voters believe that they do these things and that it'll make somehow crime less, and that's a lie. It's just simply a lie. And in fact, what states have the most laws, they have the highest crime.
Sure.
It's just the opposite, because what you're doing is you're taking rights and freedoms away from law-abiding citizens, and the criminal doesn't care. For a murderer that shoots people and does drive-bys and things like that, he doesn't give a rip about any law that's ever been passed. He doesn't care, and he's not going to comply. And then we're letting people out of prison. And we book and release in this town like it's going out of style. Mm-hmm. So there are solutions to criminal behavior, and there are solutions to crime. And all these things that we're doing in Sacramento aren't addressing that. They're addressing control of law-abiding public. The public should be outraged and furious. These people are literally, in my opinion, are committing crimes against the state. And they are enemies of the state. That they are violation of the Constitution, our basic rights. And we're in the middle of that battle right now. I had a gentleman the other day. He had a few guns stolen last year, and he reported them all stolen, and reported them properly. And it was pretty devastating, because he had a lot of value there, and guns were among some of the things stolen. One gun was recovered recently, and they said they wouldn't give it back to him because he can't prove ownership. Yet he bought it from a dealer new in the 1970s. Of course, there's no record of it.
Sure,
and so. He said, well, but I bought it new. How do I, you know, is there such a law that I have to show ownership? Well, there's penal codes now. There are laws now that say, yes, to get a gun back, that your own gun that's stolen, you have to prove that you own it. So you have to fill this thing out and send it to the state, California Department of Justice, and give them another $25. And then, of course, so he does that. And 4 months later, he still hasn't heard anything. He can't talk to a real person down there. Meanwhile, the department that has the gun says, you know, we only get to keep these things for 180 days and we'll sell it on you. I mean, and that's what we've let government
criminal.
Do, you know, on our own
property. And those
property.
Laws passed quietly, and nobody screamed too much because it didn't affect them.
Right. It's minor. It should be okay that you must prove ownership. I mean, it's just garbage, and it's happening so much. Sacramento is out of control. The insanity has gone on way too long. They're passing 1,000 laws a year. You can't sit down and read the text of 1,000 bills in an 8-hour day in the course of a year. You can't even read what it is that they're passing. And they've been at it now for 20 years. And so now here we are with the gun stuff. And in this particular case, in this year, we've got not only assembly bills coming, we've got Senate bills coming. One or two aren't passing, but the majority of them are. We're going to see probably about 25 of them land up on the governor's desk. There is some curiosity as to whether the governor is going to veto some of these like he did in 2013. I believe he might veto a couple, but I really seriously doubt he'll veto much of substance. And the reason why is because in 13 he was looking to get reelected, and he was trying to make sure that he had as much votes as possible with some of the gun groups. And so he vetoed a couple of them. He's not up for reelection today. And
But even if he doesn't veto them, we still get to vote on them.
No. Most of these, only three or four, I believe, Gavin Newsom has gathered enough signatures, is putting them on the November ballot. So the ammo registration, the ammo background check, and the magazine capacity thing, you're going to get a vote on that. The rest of this is your elected officials voting on your behalf.
Now, how do they get to do that? What's the difference? What determines a law that is just signed into law versus one that we have to vote on?
Well, it's difficult. You know, you've got to get, you know, I think Gavin Newsom got 300,000 to 400,000 signatures to get these things on the ballot. But again, this state is so liberal that we wouldn't stand a better chance even letting the public vote on them, because they're unaware
right.
of the consequences.
But at least it goes through the process. I guess that's what I'm saying. We need to have that right to vote on this. Anytime you have the government creating a law and then just signing it into effect.
That's the majority of laws. Very few actually make it on the ballot. And that's why we have this system. If we had fair representation,
right, then we would have.
Then it wouldn't be so much of a problem. Mm-hmm. But today we have no voice. In Sacramento, we have it's right down party lines. And so we have absolutely no ability to stop what's happening. And in fact, the state is close to the supermajority, which will turn remarkably worse when it happens.
You know, you talked about...
we can't count on them all being indicted again like we did last time.
No. But you talked about 1,000 laws. I recently heard a campaign ad, which just made me cringe.
So funny. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah,
you read my mind?
I think so.
Freaking me out.
I'm sharing a little space there.
Okay, go ahead. I think you're reading my mind.
Basically, the ad said that one of our current representatives has not sponsored or passed a single law the entire time he's been in office, and we need somebody that can get in there and knows how to write new laws and get these laws on the books.
To be a conservative.
This is an indictment against this guy.
I
want somebody who's in office who isn't writing laws, who maybe is going to try to get rid of some laws.
Sure.
Because I think I heard that during the course of the day, pretty much every citizen in this country, without even knowing it, breaks at least 10 laws. There's too many laws out there.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them are stupid, and a lot of them contradict each other.
Yeah. I mean, I broke a law walking in the door this morning.
Jaywalker.
You know, with regards to this ammunition law that's coming up in November that you'll get a vote on, before you can buy ammunition in the state of California, you'll have to pass a background check and get a certificate. And you can't even give a person, say your spouse, 50 rounds of ammunition in the course of 1 month.
Now, this is a law that we're voting on?
That's what you're going to vote on. And then the state is going to be registering that ammo so they'll know what you buy, and also subject to limitations. So for some of people that buy more ammunition, say tournament shooters, be it in handgun or shotgun, or avid varmint shooters where you go through a lot of rounds, those numbers are going to be particularly alarming to the state, and they're going to say that's excessive and you can't buy that. And so again, if we allow the control, they'll certainly take it. And you know what I could tell most other folks, if even if they're not particularly into the Second Amendment, they should be. Everything else is contingent upon it, but in this area, as we destroy this area and destroy these rights, They'll do it to the other areas as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, look at free speech. You know, now we have free speech zones. So you're seeing it everywhere. The overreach is everywhere.
Right.
And if we can't defend ourselves from the government, which was the original intent of the Second Amendment.
Let's talk. We got to take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to talk about that ammo law a little bit more. I want to get into it a little bit deeper and get some explanations.
I just looked at the list. It's a really big list.
Well, ammo and
I'm gonna post it.
Yeah, it's a sizable list this year. And you know, some are in different categories. Some are in suspense. Some are moving forward. But those suspense ones, don't be fooled by that.
They'll lurk there.
They'll be there in the last hour.
They're coming back. Absolutely. So they're passed.
And then they'll take some bill that's already something else, and then gut and amend it, and
right.
then Pa-ching! Here we go. Alrighty. You can find all that fun information at wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
To the town of our free, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw, loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
You better buy a gun or start drinking.
Boy, there was a time.
Yeah. We're here with Patrick Jones from Jones Fort here in Reading. Family-run operation.
Give us a little, let's have a little advertisement.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
Let's have a little promotion.
Well, I, you know, Jones Fort now been in existence for 55 years, and a single shop, a little 2x4 shop, as my dad used to say, and started in Los Angeles in 1962, and then we came up to Reading in 1969. And me and my brothers and my sisters, we've grown up in the store. Me and my brother.
Literally.
And my sister were still there, and so we're still selling firearms. So we've seen and we've been selling firearms in California this entire time, and we've seen all that's happened over this length of time period. And, you know, today I'm sad. Just inside I'm sad. I've always been a very upbeat and optimistic person, but the stuff that we're seeing out of California today is just stripping people of freedom. And if you don't have freedom, what do you really have? And you don't have much. And so it's hard to be a good, God-loving, free person in California when you see what they're doing. And, you know, for me, firearms is my life. It's what I do. It's what I do as a living. It's what I do for fun. It's so much of everything about me. And my way of life essentially is ending in the state of California. And for a lot of other people, they have now taken a serious look at leaving and have done so. I've probably lost half of my long-term customers, and they have moved to every other state that you can imagine.
The really bad part is, I get it. I get the idea, and I wasn't born here, so, I mean, I could go somewhere else that wouldn't, you know, kill me. But it's got to have some kind of realization at some point that you can move, and that's real nice, but if you don't stay here and fight, it's coming there.
Well, and I like the guys from Siskiyou County. I always like their attitude up there.
I do too.
You know, this is our land. Grandfather was born here. Father was born here. I was born here. And this is our dirt, and we ain't leaving. And we're going to fight, and we're going to fight for freedom. And that's the kind of mentality that we must have today, because these guys in Sacramento, they will strip you of every freedom that you have, and they will take your firearms, and they're doing so today. And if we allow them, you know, and we're all open, you know, most of us, we're very open to sensible things. We're pretty common sense. We want guns out of the hands of criminals. We want criminals to be charged when in possession of firearms when they do illegal acts, and we're all very open to that. But they've gone so far the other way, and they are directly attacking and calling anybody that has a gun a criminal. And there is a big difference between law-abiding people and criminals. And they're making no distinction between these two.
No.
And there's a big, big difference. We work hard. We pay our taxes. We're responsible people. It's the kind of people you want in any state. And yet we're under attack here in California. And the ammo bill is just a great example of if you go down that path and open up that door, it will lead. It will definitely lead to something that you're not and you haven't thought of or expected. Right now they're talking about making sure that you have a background check before you buy ammo. Well, that seems kind of sensible. You know, you make sure you have a good background.
Even though you have to have a background check to own a gun.
Correct.
Now you got to have one to buy the ammo as well. That's stupid.
It's very stupid. But again, as an average person might think, you know, background check for buying ammo, that's okay. It's no big deal. And then, of course, when you buy your ammunition, the state, you know, the state should know what you have. They should know what you buy. The problem is that information, do you think it's going to help you? Do you think that having, you know, the ammunition from a law-abiding person, what right is it of the state to know what a law-abiding person, how much or what kind of ammo they buy? That is not their right.
Well, what's going to follow that is how much do you have?
Correct.
Well, then you can only have so much and because they're talking, I literally have not read the list because it's way too long.
It's a big one.
I cut and paste off the Gun Owners of California website,
yes,
onto a Word document just so I could make sure all the stuff was right before I put it on here a second ago. Yeah, 13 pages.
Yeah.
13 pages.
I want to get back into this ammo law because it's...
That's the very first one, by the way.
Yeah, it's really probably the most egregious of all of them because without the ammo, the guns are worthless.
Now, what's going to happen is most people, they're not going to get an ammo permit. They're not going to do that.
Are you going to buy ammo?
They're not going to buy ammo in California. They're not going to let the government know what they buy. They're not going to do it. It's an infringement on their rights. It's unconstitutional, and they're not going to do it, and the state's not going to force them to do it. What they will do is they will buy their ammunition out of state.
Sure, but that'll just be one more thing when you go online and want to buy ammo. The little flag comes up,
right?
Cannot ship to California.
Well, they've already said it has to be a face-to-face transaction, so no more internet or any of that. It has to be a face-to-face transaction for ammo.
Nice.
So, again, this is your government working for you. So you'll go out of state.
So I can't even give a guy my permit number in Sacramento and have him ship me ammo.
Correct. It has to be a face-to-face transaction. And so you'll go out of state. Now, that hurts dealers. Essentially,
sure,
we probably won't need to stock ammo because you won't be buying it here and be selling very little. Now, that hurts most dealers, 20-30% of our business. That's what it's really intended to do.
Sure.
It's a great burden on you, infringement on your rights. And then dealers suffer because we don't get to sell ammunition any longer. And so that hurts the business as well. And then when you start taking a look at some of these other assembly bills and Senate bills, they're going to be banning the bullet button, which essentially no longer able to sell AR-15s. We're not going to be able to sell Mini-14s and some of these other guns. We're also going to be limiting you, instead of one new handgun a month, one gun a month. And here we go. And I told people before, you know, when you start saying one new handgun, they're going to come back in a couple
sure.
of years.
Here's the amendment.
And here it is. Now it's one gun. And that's even for a private party. So let's say you go to a California deer banquet and you're lucky enough to win three guns in one night. Great night for you. You participated. You helped a hunter conservation organization.
Right.
You won three guns. It's going to take 4 months and three background checks, $75 paid to the government.
And tell us where
three.
That money's going again, because you told us that during the break.
Yeah, so earlier, you know, we were talking about the $25 that the state of California charges for the background check. It costs $9 to do a background check. So starting somewhere around, we think, 2004 or 5, they were illegally and under closed doors, behind closed doors, slicing off this money and putting it into a special hidden account.
Now, when you say it costs $9, that's the federal fee, and then the state adds on the difference. And
no, we're saying if you have background check done here in Redding, California, for most things that need a background check, it costs $9, not $25. And it's the same background check that you would need to buy a firearm.
But you have to collect and remit $25.
They take from our machine $25 every time we hit send. Extracts $25.
That's the state?
That's the state of California.
Okay.
Specific California
so
Department
of Justice. So
they
got a little $16 tip built in.
So correct.
If
but they hid it from the government. They hid it from everybody. Now, that's conspiracy, and it's also overcharging, and so it's illegal on multiple counts. And then in 2012, they went to the legislature and asked them to pass special emergency legislation so that they could use this money and hire 200 field agents to come knock on your door, which they've done in Redding, and they did. And the legislature in California said, sure, we'll let you break these laws. You hid this money, but hey, we're glad that you got $50 million here in this special hidden account. So we're going to let you use that now. Instead of giving it back to the people that you stole it from, we're going to let you use it and hire more enforcement officers.
So these agents do what?
They knock on your door. When you've failed a background check, the department typically believes that you or assumes you may have a firearm, and you're often a subject of a knock on the door. They have no search warrants.
Are federal agents?
These
or
are state, California DOJ. In fact, I asked our Sheriff Tom Bazinko, I got six or seven calls one day, it was a couple days, and people said, hey, these guys in white shirts are knocking on the doors, and they say they're DOJ. Do I have to let them in? I said, do they have a search warrant? No, then you don't have to let them in. You don't have to talk to them. I talked to our Sheriff Tom Bazinko, and he said, I'm unaware that they're here. He checked. He called me back, and he said, yes, they're here, and they are knocking on people's doors. And I said, wouldn't they call you and let you know that they're doing that? He said, well, we ask them to, but they don't.
And what are they knocking on? What are they looking for? They're
doing so much cross-referencing now. So when a person buys a firearm, it goes to that data goes to Sacramento. And then it's plugged into the massive computers, and they start doing searches, various names, anybody with that name, anybody with that name and date of birth.
It's a little bit like the no-fly list.
And then cross-referencing your address. Is there anybody else that has that address, that lives at that location, that has a prohibited background? And a whole bunch of other things, too. Do you have are you a veteran, and have you been issued mood-altering drugs? And they cross-reference that, and they just cross-reference. And they can put even a delay or a denial on your purchase depending on the outcome of what they've found. Some cases they're correct. Some cases they're not. Some people that they knocked on, I have a great story here in Reading, they came knocking on a gentleman's door who had worked in law enforcement for 35 years. Same name, wrong guy. It took him 2 hours to get them to leave, and it shook him up pretty good. And I told him, I said, hey, this is what's happening. You know, it's been happening. But I said, I'm kind of glad it happened to you so you could see what we've been talking about. I use the word Gestapo, and some people feel it's a little harsh. But I just don't believe it is.
How would you prove that it was harsh? It's the exact same thing.
You know, these guys are doing this today here in California, overtaxing us, overcharging knowingly. They didn't do it on accident. They did it on purpose. They did it on purpose, and they do this. And there's nothing, and the Attorney General does not hold them accountable. Either the U.S. Attorney General or California Attorney General does nothing, and they knew about it. So when you see these guys break the laws, but yet nothing happens, and then there's passing, dozens of new laws that affect us, and I guarantee you, if we cross that line, we have our day in court, and it's not usually a good outcome for us.
I've
got to take a really quick break here because we're almost at the top of the hour, and we have Gary, our hostage, on hold, who has a comment or a question for us when we come back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Somebody been shot, somebody's been abused, somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall oak tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see. That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
We'll have to play this every week. It'll be a song kids in, 50 years ago. What are they talking about? Give me back what? You're listening to We the People. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Just in case you want to really be sad, you can go on there and look at the list of bills that are loitering in the California legislature. It's not good. Starts out with ammunition and ends up with, let's see, what's our final one? Oh, gun violence research.
Yes.
That is fantastic. We're going to do a little research about gun violence because we don't
understand.
We don't understand that if criminals shoot people, that it turns out bad, yeah. I guess.
Well, they're using the term gun in there, they're not going to look at violence in
California. Talking about criminal violence.
Right.
It's the guns that are doing it.
Guns are jumping up and doing
that's
this
exactly thing. Right. They go crazy. You just lay them on the table and they go nuts. So we have Gary on hold there, has a question or comment. Still in there, Gary?
Good afternoon. The obvious personal immediate solution to the gun situation is do not comply, which Patrick already mentioned, and other people are saying do not comply. And then the long range, the obvious solution is the state of Jefferson, which will indeed, the state will respect, and the Second Amendment will be held in high esteem, which of course it is not in tyrannical California. So do not comply. State of Jefferson, there's your solution. Will it be immediate? It'll take time, work, but it has to be done. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks,
no,
Gary.
He's correct. We're not going to win in Sacramento. We've been losing now for decades. These people, if you ever get a chance to go down there, and I used to go down there 2 to 3 times a year and sit in on Senate and Assembly Committee hearings, and it just made me nauseous, the amount of material they're covering, the kind of control that they're looking for, no respect for personal freedom and liberties, and it was all I could do.
Or property.
Or property. And, so we can't win with those guys. We have to separate, and Gary is absolutely right. I don't care where or how. Just cut me off from Sacramento. I'll be happy. These guys have done a tremendous job on the state of Jefferson. And it's the largest movement in California's history. Of course, you're not going to hear that out of a local paper. But everybody is got the same problem. We have no representation in Sacramento, and they're running amok. And the ammo bill, as we were talking about earlier, is a great example of this in that. Right now, I can buy as much ammo. The government doesn't know what I buy. They don't need to know what I buy. That's my business.
Absolutely.
And now they're going to get into my business of what I buy and then control me as to how much I can buy, and then I have to have a permit. I have to be approved to buy it. The state has to tell me.
So tell me, Patrick, the process for this ammo thing now is, okay, I want to go down. I want to go squirrel hunting. I get a phone call from my buddy. Hey, let's go shoot some squirrels. Hey, I need some bullets. Okay, the first thing I got to do is I got to go down and see Patrick. I got to get a background check. That's
correct.
$20-$25.
Correct.
Okay. Then he gives me
Now you may have to wait. That's we don't know all of the issues yet. We don't know all the terms yet. But you may have to get the certificate and you may have to wait 10 days before you get your background check complete, because in California, while every other state does instant checks for the firearms, it's 10 days. And I
sure.
suspect under the law that they will say, you have to wait 10 days.
Okay.
We will determine if you have an appropriate background, and then we'll issue you a certificate good for a length of time, and it has to be renewed every so often. So you're going to have to do it again because, in a month or two from now, you could have done something bad.
So you get the background check. Now I have to go get a permit to buy the ammo.
Once you have your background check, then your license, you should be able to buy ammunition. But the government will know the quantity.
Right.
And you're going to be subject to limitations of an unknown amount.
Right. So then I have my permit. I can buy my ammo. Now my family comes up and we want to go squirrel shooting. Can't go.
You better hope they came from out of state.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because in California those guys can't touch the gun with the ammo because they have to, if they have
you
the ammo.
You could give them 49 rounds.
Oh, they can have 49 rounds.
49 rounds is what I understand.
Okay. Better improve your aim, huh?
All right. We're going to finish this up when we get back.
No, we're not. We're just going to go away mad.
Oh, I'm already mad.
Yeah. This is a show where you're going to go away mad. We're going to just spoiler alert you. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We air live noon to 2 on Sundays here at KCNR Studios in Redding, California. We have a chat room open during that time. Phone number and all that good stuff is posted online. And then the show re-airs on Saturday afternoons from 2:30 to 4, commercial-free, on WNJC there in Philadelphia and New Jersey. So we have a lot of folks who listen online. Wednesday is a very popular day, actually, because I post a commercial-free archive after the show, thanks to Robert Extra there.
I think this show's going to get a lot
of play.
He does
that commercial-free archive for us, and then Wednesday, people must have nothing to do or something. I don't know. That's the listening day, so it's kind of interesting. So today we're chatting about gun laws the ramifications of that. For those of you who live in other places other than California and you're thinking how smart you are, you know what? This is a breeding ground for stupidity, and unfortunately, it's very infectious.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's
once
coming
they pass
for
it
you.
Here and it goes through all these other state and local agencies are going to go, hey,
they're
did it in California, we can do it too.
Well, and in world history, what's been now coming is that for all the cities throughout the world, United States included, as they get large, they get liberal, and they start this process of control. And we're seeing it here greatly in California, where you have 40, 43 million people. Most of the cities here are fairly large. And you start seeing it. And now all over the West Coast, you start seeing these cities that are very large, like Portland and Seattle. They control the entire states. And the stuff that happens in California now, they're watching those things. And so it's very important to watch, unfortunately, what bad can happen here in California and what is happening in California, because you may not be that far behind depending on where you live and what. You know, Texas right now is a very conservative place, but, you know, when you see the big cities like Dallas and...
I was going to say, they've got, like, the most mosques of any city in the country.
And you start seeing them in Dallas. Get large and larger, they get more and more liberal, and they will dictate the policies and laws of the state, and it'll change, and Texas won't be what it is today if you don't do something about it, if you don't protect your rights and your freedom and a strict adherence to the Constitution. And we watch, you know, liberal media shows and whatnot, and they start talking about it's a changing document and all these things.
It's a living, breathing document.
Right, and it isn't. It's the words are clear, they're concise, and you don't give an inch on them. There's no compromise on it. And unfortunately, what we've done in California is we have allowed our politicians to disregard it. The only thing they swear as they're elected into that Senate and Assembly, the only thing they swear to uphold is two constitutions, the one of California and one of the United States. And they've broken it all. And they should be removed. But instead, we're so connected and busy with our lives that we're not doing anything about it. Because as you guys know, Aaron, you know particularly how hard it is to battle in Sacramento. And
the thing that's interesting is people, you know, now that, you know, I'm dealing with the federal process, I guess, we'll get people who will call the office who are just furious about Nancy Pelosi or somebody like that. Well, the people, like the people in Congress, for instance, didn't elect Nancy Pelosi. Her constituents did.
Correct.
And she pulls 80% of the vote. So here we have these folks in California, Kamala Harris, I mean, since we're looking at Election Day in 2 days, for the people that aren't paying attention, Kamala Harris is on your ballot for U.S. Senator to take Barbara Boxer's seat. So if you thought Barbara Boxer was bad, Kamala Harris is super, super scary. She's our Attorney General currently, in case you weren't tracking that. And she is a gun grabber of the first order.
Yeah, she's super bad. In fact, we had a federal judge last year rule that the 10-day waiting period is unconstitutional, that if you've bought a firearm or if you have a concealed weapon permit, you obviously own firearms, you don't need to be waiting 10 days to get a firearm.
That was a big win for the...
That was a big win.
Yeah.
And she simply said no. The Attorney General Harris said no. I'm not going to do it. So we're having to sue her. We're having to spend, you know, the state's money, which is our money, and our money on top of that, to sue her to follow
through. Our own attorney general to follow the law.
To follow the law. And now she wants to be your U.S. senator for the state of California. And very bad. Unfortunately, she's being pushed as the front runner. You know, Southern California voters, unfortunately, outnumber us, you know, about 40-1. And so we're in trouble on this. Once again, you know, we had Boxer, which was a horrible senator for the Constitution, and now we're going to quite possibly get somebody worse. Unfortunately, on that list of senators that you could vote for...
what are there, like,
30,
I mean, seriously, 30 there's...
Something,
yeah,
and
it's a very, very, very long
so
list.
You're going to have to pick the least evil that has a chance of winning, and there's only two that have a chance of winning, and so you got to go. Unfortunately, you may not like hearing that, but you're going to have to go with the lesser of the evils.
Which is Loretta Sanchez.
Correct.
I mean, Loretta Sanchez is currently a member of Congress. Oh, Bob's down.
It's a horrible. But that's what you're left with here. Because
but
if
the thing
you
is, we're a top two state.
Right.
And so, you know, when you just do the, you know, if you step away and, you know, don't get hysterical about it and disregard the party thing and you look at it, the likely top two are Loretta Sanchez and Kamala Harris.
Right.
And that's who you want. I mean, because if they're, let's just say everybody, you know, decided to put some, I don't know, knucklehead in there, whoever it is, Republican or Democrat, and you get somebody else, Kamala Harris has the name recognition.
Well, here's
you've got to beat her.
Here's the simple fact. If you vote for Republican, which I would be inclined to do, which I usually do, you will allow Harris to win.
Pretty much.
That's what's going to happen. So think about that. It's a tough one on that, but that's ultimately what we have. And she will represent California in Washington with her views and, you know, seeing what she's already done. You know, just it'll be a horrible deal.
Well, she's been a terrible attorney general.
Absolutely.
Flouts all the law. I mean, she is the ultimate Obama, you know, minion. You know, laws, what laws? Laws, schmaws, they're not for me.
Yeah, sue me. So what's going
exactly.
on with that lawsuit? Is it
still
moving forward? Or?
Well, yeah, it's moving forward. So here we should have an instant check. You know, and the states, most states have an instant check, and it's worked great. You've got a good background or bad background, whatever your background is. Either you have a good background, you buy your gun, you go home. You're not causing problems. If you have a bad background, you don't buy a firearm. And it works quite well. It's very simple. States like even Wyoming have an instant background. They used to tell us here, oh, we just don't have the capability to do it in California. Really, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lie.
Yeah, we don't know how to run a computer.
The reality is that a 10-day wait is a punitive measure. It makes less sales, not more. If you have a camping trip on the weekend and you want to buy a nice little snake gun, maybe something like that to keep in you know, you can buy it and go on your camping trip. But no, you got a 10-day wait. No matter how many guns you bought, maybe you have a concealed weapon permit, you still can't buy. You have to wait 10 days. If you're from an outlying area, which Redding, you know, we're a hub, so we have lots of buyers from Hoopaw and Pascana and Wildwood and Quincy and Modoc County and Alturas and all these different places. In California, not only do you have to wait 10 days, but you must come and pick it up within a 20-day window or your background check goes dead and
you got to go do it.
You got to do it all over again. And so they've done these things punitively to reduce sales. Now, the reality is what they've done is that they've made people aware, and they haven't been reducing sales. They've been averaging around 2,500 guns per day. It really should be more than that with 43 million people in California. But the number has not been decreasing yet because people are nervous and they're buying. And as they pass these laws, they're buying. Now, they're often not being able to buy what they want because it's banned or barred here already. We have most people don't know today that we're reduced now. If you come in to buy a handgun, 90% is not available to you in semi-autos and double-action revolvers. You've already lost
90%. 90%?
Right.
And that's because the micro-stamping, the magazine disconnect, and the chambered round indicator and the drop test process that the state has, they have the most complicated system. And now with the micro-stamping, and we talked earlier about it, Aaron, micro-stamping is law in the state of California. So let's say a Glock Model 22, let's say they had a brand new model, which they have, the fourth generation, and they'd like to sell that in California. They have to submit that to California, and it has to have things incorporated into it or they will not accept it for testing. One of those things is now a law, and it went to the state Supreme Court and found to be lawful, and that is when the firing pin strikes the primer, it has to leave a micro serial number. The manufacturers argued that it cannot be done reliably in a manufacturing setup. Nobody in the world can do it. State said, too bad. It physically can be done. You don't know how to do it, but it can be done. States have the right to regulate firearms, and it stands. And no one will submit new handguns into the state of California before this. So forevermore, you will not see. You open up that new gun magazine, Guns and Ammo, American Rifleman, and so forth, and see a new model of a Springfield or a Smith & Wesson or a Glock or a Ruger, and it will not come to California ever again.
No. I subscribe to those magazines, and there's nothing more frustrating than reading some of the ads on some of the new stuff coming out, and it's not for you.
I can barely go to the SHOT Show. That's the big thing each year for dealers, and most dealers really like to get to the SHOT Show in January every year. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a depressing time.
Because you just walk around, not for me, not for me.
I can't look at all that stuff that I can't sell. It's very depressing, and you know, and so... but that's what they do here, little bit by little bit. Now, eventually, attrition will start taking control of these numbers. Their goal, the state's goal, and this is California Department of Justice's goal, is to reduce the number of sales per day. And that's what these laws are intended to do. If you're having difficulty buying ammunition because of the massive intrusion upon your rights, and you have to buy out of state or you're doing something like that, you're just simply not going to shoot as much. And you're probably not going to want to buy as many new guns because it's so difficult. If you had to buy gasoline for your automobile in some other county because they made a big, you know, thing here or a big restriction here, you wouldn't drive as much. You would change the way your driving habits would change.
It's all about control.
Right. And your shooting habits are going to change
as
this ammo regulation starts passing.
Well, let's move on to the bullet button law. We're going to take a break.
Next depressing thing.
But the implications of that new legislation and what's going to happen there for folks that actually own these guns.
And we'll describe what kinds of things that you're going to be now required to do when you're the owner of a California assault weapon. What does that mean, and what are you going to lose?
And we need to get into what is an assault weapon. Got to remember, we have lots of people who listen who maybe don't know.
Think, well, you shouldn't have an assault weapon.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the criminals will all have all of these things and many of them and get them freely and use them, and they pretty much don't care. So we're going to take a really quick break. We're here with Patrick Jones from Jones Forge. And we'll be chatting about guns when we come back. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm thinking Hank Williams Jr. is a gun lover. I could be wrong.
I'm thinking, that's just, I mean, what more do you say? You know, amen to that. So you have all sorts of people out there that are going, what is the deal with these guys?
A bunch of hillbillies. Hey, Patrick, let's talk about the new bullet button legislation.
Yeah, there were two bills particularly, and one of them, they're going to hold off maybe till next year. That's the Assembly Bill 1663. This one has been defeated right at the moment for 2016 legislation, and that would have banned millions of guns, which they consider assault weapons. And I think they probably dropped that one because 1664 is moving forward and essentially accomplishes most of the same thing. And so that would change the existing definition of the assault weapon ban of 2000. So it changes that. So we've had the assault weapon ban of 1989. It's still in effect. It lists specific makes and models. And then we have the assault weapon ban of 2000 that has features. Now we're changing what features you can have, and that, again, will ban millions of guns. In 2000, we lost the right to sell most semi-autos, including the ARs. Let's focus on the AR because that seems to be the one that they like so much.
A lot of people own those, and a lot of people take them out to the range and shoot
right.
them.
It's kind of the number one gun. Yeah. In fact, I think it's America's gun today. And we couldn't sell that gun. That gun was banned. But we had to change how the gun would operate if we were able to sell it. Now, we could do a fixed magazine where you have to pull the rear pin and load from the top, and those guns were done. I remember a company called Fab 10 that did that successfully, but that's kind of a pain having to pull the pin. It's a bit hard on the gun.
Sure.
You could do it in a pump. They do make some ARs in a pump. It's not a semi-automatic, so that would be legal, and there are some of those. You could even do a bolt. They've done some different types of things where you use your lower platform and you put bolt actions on the top. But again, those were all kind of in small quantities. But we also learned somewhere around 2006 that if you change the type of magazine release so that it's no longer a quick detachable magazine, I must use a tool to get the magazine out, in this case the nose of a bullet. So it was nicknamed the bullet button. I have to use a tool, a basic tool, but nothing on the human body could release that magazine. I must use a tool. And now, by using a tool, it's no longer classified as a quick detachable magazine, and we were able to start selling ARs, complete fireable ARs, by using this different method. The magazine had to be 10 rounds or less, but we were able to sell those. Now, fast forward to today. And also on the bullet button, if you called up Department of Justice and said, hey, I'm thinking about bringing in one of these ARs to sell in the state of California, has this so-called California-compliant bullet button. Is it legal? They would never answer you yes or no. They still won't answer you yes or no. They read you the law and say, talk to your district attorney. That's the kind of people that we deal with down there. Mm-hmm. And we know it's legal today, and most major manufacturers do it. Now they're going to change that definition, and they're gonna essentially ban the bullet button. They're going to ban a part. So now we're down to banning parts and pieces. It'd be like, you can't have wheels on your car. We're going to ban those. And that's what they're doing here. So they're going to change the existing definition from a detachable magazine, an ammunition feeding device that can be removed readily from the firearm without disassembly of the firearm action, including an ammunition feeding device that can be removed readily from the firearm with the use of a tool, which would in turn expand the number of firearms in California to assault weapons. So they're just going to change the definition to detachable magazine would strike, you know, and this is going to strike a major blow. And this is AB 1664, but no more bullet buttons. We're not going to be able to use that feature anymore. And essentially, the only way an AR, for example, would be able to be sold is it must have a fixed magazine, no way to remove the magazine.
So you'd have to load one at a time through the top.
Through the top. That could be considered legal as long as the state doesn't have some sort of new twist onto this. Because, again, you can't ask any questions of them. They will not answer. They will not have a discussion with you. So we believe there may be some guns, but the regular AR as we know it with the bullet button is going to end. And then we'll have some things like a fixed magazine where you cannot remove it, but most of them will be gone. Now, here's an interesting scenario specific to the AR. You could remove the bullet button, have no button at all, a lower receiver with nothing on it at all. It's not in a functioning mode. It might be legal just sitting there on its own.
With no magazine latch,
no button, no nothing, not with an upper on it. A lot of questions yet. Some things, you know, we're always going to try as an industry to go around it the best we can, but clearly our options are getting much, much smaller. Now, for all those people, a couple million people here in California that have those guns and keep them in their original condition as they were shipped from the factory or as they built those guns with bullet buttons, either way, they now, under this, it's going to be an assault weapon. They'll have 1 year to register it with the state of California as an assault weapon. And I think they're going to allow you to be able to do that. We'll see. And I'm not even sure with this. So they're just saying you might not be able to have the bullet button at all. I'm not sure if they're going to even allow you to be able to register it as an assault weapon. You're not going to like the terms to that either. But this is bad. It's going to essentially, it could very well take 1.5 to 2 million people in California and force them to move that gun out of state, or you know, they're going to be felons.
So if you own one of these guns that has a bullet button, which is legal, you bought it legal, they're going to say, all right, now that we've passed this law, you have to register that as an assault weapon. You have to get an assault weapon permit to continue to own that gun. So you apply for the permit. Now it's their discretion whether or not to issue that permit.
Yeah,
do you have to go through another background check?
Generally speaking, once the state is, you know, they're changing the definition here. And so typically they're going to give you 1 year from, you know, say, let's say January 1st, 2017 to the end of that year, 1 year to register it with the state as a special California assault weapon. You have to give them $25, and you have to give your name, your address, and you're subject then to the requirements of the law. And what that says is you must give the address where the gun will be stored. They have the right, and they, meaning any law enforcement agency, has the right to come and inspect that gun at that address in any 24-hour period they deem necessary. You're also required, if you're going to hunt with it, that you have to, if you're on private property, you have to have written permission. And you have to transport it in a hard and locked container. So there are requirements when you have a California assault weapon. And National Forest Service lands policy is that if you're the legal registered owner, you can use it on their policy or on their property. And I would recommend people download a copy of their policy and have that on file so that you have that with you. But BLM land, strictly prohibited. Their policy does not match.
So do you think if you apply for that permit or license to have that gun, you'll have to go through another background check?
Correct.
Okay. So you go through a background check. You pass the background check. It's still under their discretion whether or not to issue the permit?
Well, I think as you fill out the assault weapon registration.
Or license, I should
say. Yeah, you fill out the form. The gun meets the definition of an assault weapon. You have
right.
an appropriate background. Then they will send you back your California assault weapon registration card, which you are then required to keep it on you whenever in possession of the gun, just like your automobile. And that's really what they want all guns in California to be. This is their test, to get it started with these guns
mm-hmm.
and then eventually expand it to all guns. And I guarantee you it's how they think.
What if you don't pass the background check?
You're denied.
And then what?
And you might get a knock on the door.
Then they're going to take your gun.
Well, if you're denied.
Because you've already said you had it.
Yeah, you have this gun, and you may get a knock on the door, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, you know, when you read the fine print to an assault weapon ban like this, you know, an assault weapon ban, you know, really is banning a segment of the gun, saying that they're unsafe and deeming them bad.
And you're admitting that when you apply
correct.
For that license, you're saying, yes, I own a dangerous weapon.
I own a scary gun, an
assault weapon.
Correct.
I don't think it's an assault weapon.
It's not. It's just a gun.
But
and
by
guns
signing
are guns.
Up for this license, you're telling them, yeah, I agree with you. That's another rub I have with this.
It's a bad deal. Now, I can tell you in 1989 when they did this, very interesting, you had 1 year, 1990, to do it. 1 year exactly. They got like 2% of the people to do it. The attorney general of the time, that was Dan Lundgren, he thought that, well, people don't know about it. So he extended on his own authority a late registration period. That went to court and he lost. And those guns under the late registration had to be turned back in.
Oh, really?
And so they had another ban in 2000, same basic terms and conditions, and now it was going to affect more guns because we're not listing specific names that the manufacturers could simply change the following month. So they like the assault weapon ban of 2000, and they're going to continue to expand it and shrink down the definition so that essentially at times most semi-automatics with a detachable magazine will be banned, and that's what they want. Once they accomplish that, and the public accepts that, then you'll start seeing other categories of guns demonized. Now, we use this term assault weapon. They use it because it's a nasty-sounding name that the general public can buy into. But there are other nasty names, like you don't need a sniper rifle. That scope gun that you have, that's a sniper rifle. You know, why do you need a sniper rifle?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have that. And that small handgun there, they've already used the terms like Saturday Night Special to demonize something and then try to make regulation like the 68 Gun Control Act. That's the term they used.
Or a Magnum.
Correct.
Yeah.
Why do you need that? And so they're just simply using these catchy names.
The assault gun thing, right. That's used very freely.
Absolutely.
If it's black. I mean, if it's a long black gun, it seems like, you know, oh, that's an assault rifle.
Absolutely. You know, and so, I mean, they'll hold an AR up in front of the assembly and say, look at this. You know, why do people need this? And then, of course, Trump on the Constitution. The reality is, if we allow the government, which is what we're doing, if we allow them to start saying certain types of guns are dangerous and eliminate them from the hands of the public, we're going down a road you'll never come back from. Because
exactly.
Every category is bad to them. They're not just simply, some folks are under the impression that they're just simply wanting this type of gun, and that is incorrect.
That is very incorrect.
They want this to start with, and the others will follow. They want massive control, and they want to eliminate them all completely, I guarantee
sure
you that.
Sure they do. Yeah, and this is a long game. This isn't what you said earlier about...
Hey, wait, it's an assault.
it's a slow process, a little bite at a time, and look where we are today.
We have Mary on hold with us. Mary, do you have a question or comment for us?
Yes. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Mary.
If I take my guns to Oregon, am I still, according to the wording, am I still the registered owner and I can't live in California and own a gun if it's out of state?
Well, you can do with your guns what you want out of state. You can take a firearm and sell in another state. You only have to comply with the rules of another state. And most states don't have anything close to what we have in California. So you can move those guns and keep them at some other location outside of California. You could sell them. You only have to comply with the rules of Oregon in this case.
Okay, and my second question is, I see an opportunity here for a guy named Patrick Jones to open up another gun store in Oregon.
That'd be really handy with storage lockers.
Well, you know, and there are very few dealers here in California, and it's one of the worst states, obviously, to deal in, and a lot of people have chose to leave, and dealers, too. But, you know, this is where I was raised, this is where I grew up, and this is my town, this is my dirt, you know, and we don't run from a fight. We have to...
You know what, too, is read the book, Who Moved the Cheese?
Correct.
Exactly.
If you don't think about what they're going to do to you and bail, I don't know. I don't want to see you hurt.
Well, thank you. All right, thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. You know, she brings up a good point, Patrick. If I own a gun in California, whether it be an assault rifle or a handgun, am I required to record that sale if I take it to, say, Oregon and sell it?
No, there's no disposition law in California today, and so you can dispose of a gun or move it to another state. You do not have to notify the state. Now, what the state does require under law is as you come into the state of California, you have to notify the state and fill out the report of ownership on all the firearms coming in. And, of course, some can't come in.
Right.
There's also another bill, a Senate bill, and it's moving its way forward. It's a hugely bad one for us in California on handguns specific. And it says for all handguns coming into the state, for all private party transfers of handguns, the state must deem them safe, which means they have to be on the approved roster.
There's only
around 600 guns on that roster now and falling, and soon there'll be none. You can't transfer a handgun into the state. You can't give a particular handgun non-rostered to your son or daughter. That's what's happening. We're letting.
In the past, that was legal.
It's legal today. And, for example, today your son or daughter could buy you a non-rostered handgun out of state and gift it to you. That's legal. People do it all the time. It's going to end at the end of the year. And people are frantic to get what they can out of state because they can't buy what they want. The state has not deemed it safe. They're going to cut that loophole out. They know of it because you have to do the report of ownership from a family member, in this case a son or daughter, mother, father. And so they know those numbers. The number is rising. They don't like it. They're going to pass a law And I don't know the Senate bill number, but it's there. And in fact, this bill was one of the bills that was vetoed 2 years ago by the governor, and it's back now, and I don't think he'll veto it again.
But that law is only between son and daughter, mother and father.
All firearms coming in.
So if I have a brother that wants to gift me a gun,
correct,
that's not legal.
Yeah, and I should clarify, this is on handguns, semi-automatic and double-action revolvers that have to be on the California approved roster. We can only sell what the state tells us we can sell.
Right, because if you bring that gun in, it still has to go through a licensed dealer.
Doesn't have to. No, as you bring it into the state of California, let's say you've lived in Nevada and you're moving to California, there is a form, report of ownership, that you must fill out and send it in to Department of Justice and pay a fee, of course, and tell the state what you're bringing into the state. It's a requirement of the law. It's a law.
Okay.
And so, again, if certain guns, you can't bring them in. Certain guns you can't.
Right, so it has to be a California-approved handgun or...
Well, that's what this new law is saying.
Okay.
And that...
But in the past, it didn't have to be California-approved?
That is correct.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
the window's closing.
And that's right. So that tightening and continue to tighten down. And so that's what the state is doing. But that's huge. That affects most dealers in California. We can't sell a gun on consignment. We could barely sell a used handgun.
True.
That's treated as a private party transfer. And if you had a quality, say an older Smith & Wesson Model 19, excellent handgun, and you want to sell it to your neighbor Jim, he can't do that anymore. You can't sell that gun in California. You have to sell it out of state, which is what they want. They want guns to get out of California.
Great for you guys as business owners. We have to take a really quick break here, and we will come right back. We could, when we're talking about gun laws in the state of California, you could do a show that was literally a month long.
Yeah.
Nonstop. So we'll be right back. We only have 20 minutes, so we'll cram that all in for you. You can find more about this program and the archive later on today at wethepeopleradio.us.
Gunpowder and lead.
Exactly. Your RIP rounds.
Yes.
The best bullet ever. And if you've never seen them, you should Google them.
A lot of people have asked, on this ammo stuff, they've asked about, what about reloading components and things like that. And again, the state doesn't know and have access yet to how many primers you buy, how much gunpowder you buy, how much bullets in case you happen to reload. And it's a smaller segment of the shooting world that take the time or have the time, patience and the knowledge to reload, but there's still a fair amount of people that do, and this bill will not affect those people. But you can imagine in time they're going to start wanting to know those numbers.
Sure.
And when they know those numbers, then they want to control them because they're not going to like that you bought 1,000 primers.
You got around their rule.
Right. You've got 2,000 primers. Why are you buying 2,000 primers? Well, because I'm stocking up. And, it'll be cheaper today than it will be tomorrow. So, but again, we're letting them control
it. Yeah, because criminals are obviously sitting around in their gang clubhouses, learning about reloading.
That brings up an interesting point. If I'm a reloader, I buy all the components. Once I assemble those into a bullet, it falls under the bullet laws where I can't give those or sell those
Correct.
To a neighbor or friend.
Yeah, then it's a loaded cartridge, and then that's subject to that. And so you could give up to, I believe it's 49 or 50 rounds a month without having a...
But you could sell the components to a neighbor.
We believe so.
Okay.
We believe
so. So what are the other laws real quick that we need to touch on?
Well, we've got, and everybody should go to, like, Gun Owners of California website. That's a good one.
Yep.
Yes. And we've got not only 11 Senate bills that have passed and moving forward. Those now are heading into the assembly. We've got four of those coming out of the assembly, 1664, 1673, 1674, and 1695.
And will we get to vote on those?
No, you will not.
They're just going to make them laws.
So those, what will happen is as they pass now out of the assembly, they'll go onto the governor's desk. He'll have 30 days to do something with them. He can sign them or veto them or do nothing, in which effect they will just simply become law. They wanted these 11 assembly bills. I'm not sure why they had mentioned it, but at least in the paper it was said that they want these 11 quickly to go to the assembly, and they want the governor quickly to sign them as quick as possible, as opposed to waiting, you know, a later time period. So they obviously want this round to go very, very fast and make a statement. And I think what they're trying to do here is test the governor as to whether he's going to do any vetoing or not. Because there's twice as many coming. There'll be more, you know, these are
right, right
going to be more
him.
Right behind
it. It isn't like they're gonna work on the actual issues of our state,
right.
You know, real serious issues. We're just going to keep doing this.
So I think this is a test for the governor. Some have said, well, you know, he's going to veto half of them because he did back in 13. But again, that was very specific circumstances where the governor told the legislature, don't put a bunch of anti-gun bills on my desk because I'm trying to get reelected. I need some help here. Let's work together. The legislature has been almost thinking like they're a supermajority and they don't need the governor. They're mm-hmm. almost that
well,
powerful.
They are.
And right now, the governor can veto a bill, which they really dislike. They don't like that. They don't like doing all that work and then it being subject to pressures that could be applied to the governor. And so there is a little internal conflict going on right now. And then to make matters more interesting, you got Gavin Newsom, who's trying to make a name for himself. And so he's putting some referendums out, if you will, and ballot initiatives. And those now, he has gathered the signatures, and he has put those on there. And it's kind of in contradiction to what the legislature is doing. But again, he's done it all by design because people are talking about it and him, and he's wanting to be your next governor. And so he's doing some of those things, and that's specific with the magazine capacity, ammo registration, and ammo permitting. And so a very bad whole, you know, not only in November the things that you get to vote on will be bad, but they're going to simply be passing all these bills, and then they're going to take effect at some point. And go on to GOC. NRA has some information as well, and you'll start seeing all these bill numbers, Senate bills. Now, keep in mind that if a bill starts in the Senate, then if it passes, then it goes on, you know, eventually it'll go on to the Assembly, and it has to pass out of the Assembly. If it starts in the Assembly, it eventually goes on and has to pass out of the Senate. And then it goes on to the governor's desk, and he has an opportunity to do something with it, sign it, veto it, or do nothing in 30 days. And that's the process that we have.
And if it's a do nothing in 30 days, it becomes law.
It becomes law. And Governor Brown typically just simply waits late in that 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't usually do it until
to see what the kickback's
kind of
be.
What's happening out there,
sure.
And what's the give and take, and what kind of deal can be made or whatever. So he's going to use that as bargaining. If a lot of pressure is applied, and so I really encourage people, if this hits the governor's desk, any of these anti-gun bills, is to really start putting pressure and calling, emailing, doing anything.
And people
you can.
Think it doesn't matter because it's going to go through anyway, but it's important to put up resistance.
It is.
Because if you don't, then they just say, hey, well, nobody cared last time, let's
right.
go.
I mean, if nobody responds.
Even if they disregard, it's
right.
still worth it.
Even though there may be millions of people that oppose it, he doesn't hear it, he doesn't
right.
see it. And, you know, if he gets 20,000, 30,000 calls coming in and jams up the phone, he's knowing there's a lot of people that don't like this. I might consider vetoing it or
yeah.
something. And so it is important to take a little bit of time once it hits the governor's desk. You know, and super bad if we ever get to a supermajority here in California. And what
God.
Happens there is that
they
when
steamroll us.
Yeah, and then what happens on a supermajority is that now you have no governor. He has no ability
yeah,
to
no.
veto anything. And so now you're taking one-third, really more than that, more out of the process, and now we have no ability. We can't pressure the Senate.
I think
Assembly.
We don't have representation now.
Right.
Yeah, we'll have nothing.
So okay, we're almost there.
Got to take one more quick break. And just in case you're sitting around with your absentee ballot in California, Prop 50 is a negative. No, no, no. It says it's going to reel in bad behavior. It's not. It's actually going to make it easier. So that Just a little something I thought of that we never said anything about.
Yeah.
And if you're out there in the free world and you're wondering who to vote for and all that kind of stuff in your state, look up Gun Owners of America. So, not only California.
I'll tell you who your friends are.
Ain't worth a lot of money, and a damn sure ain't for sale. Good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. My granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears Roebuck catalog, and it shot many shells over the back of an old bird dog. It backed the burglar down when Grandma took the safety off of granddaddy's gun.
If it seems no one can help me now, I'm in too deep, there's no way out. This time I have really led myself astray. Runaway train, never going back. Long way on a one-way track.
Seems the new like California theme song. And, you know, nice pun there with Brown's high-speed rail.
Yeah.
His stupid one-way train on his little one-way track.
In this case, we're not talking about the bullet train.
But we could.
Talking about lack of bullets.
No, but we could make fun of that, too. All right, so what are we missing in the
There was one other category of gun that we didn't talk about. And, you know, this year, besides, you know, several of the new laws, you'll need a license, you know, to sell ammunition and a background check to buy ammunition. Magazines that hold more than 10 rounds will be illegal, and you have to turn them in, be a felony if you're caught in possession of them. More guns will be classified as assault weapons, and of course, if you're caught with an unregistered assault weapon, that's a felony as well.
Now, that magazine, just to interrupt you real quick, I have friends that own magazines that have, like, a screw that...
Locked or not.
So
if it holds 10 rounds... or more, even if it's a 10-round magazine that's been blocked from a higher capacity magazine, that still would be banned.
Yeah, because those are legal today.
They're legal today.
You can buy those. There's like a 30-round mag with a screw, right, and it only holds 10.
Yeah, but what about the ones that come in like the handguns, like small handguns? And
it's a problem. Yeah, it's
really?
You may not be able to have a magazine for your gun because it can't block it to 10 if it was originally longer, and that is an issue. People will find out just how important that is.
Sure.
Holy
in addition
crap.
To that, homemade guns, as they call it, but it's, you know, you have the right to make, if you're smart enough, you can make up to 6 guns a year without having to be a licensed dealer, and now they're going to bar you from being able to build anything on your own, essentially. And
any gun?
Any gun. And
oh, really?
So they really want these what we call 80 percenters.
Yep.
And they don't want that any longer, and so they've got a Senate bill on that. And you're no longer going to be able to do that. And so those are some of the things. And again, Gun Owners of America, Gun Owners of California, but particularly with these bills, take a look at Gun Owners of California. You'll see some of these Senate and Assembly bills moving forward. We're under attack. There's no question this year is a monumental year. And it really lets the legislature know if these all pass and we do nothing, expect a bunch more. Because it lets them know there's no opposition.
There's no opposition.
And,
exactly.
You know, if a couple hundred people show up on the steps of the Capitol, it's not gonna stop it. And so this is a very important year. We have to unite. This affects everybody, you know. And I remember back 30 years ago in California in the 89 ban, and a lot of deer hunters, we couldn't get them involved. They said, you know, I just give them that type of gun. That's all that they want. You know, just let them have it. NRA was correct when they said, you let that door open, it'll be very hard to shut it. And boy, are they... Right. 30 years later, we've had just an onslaught of laws, intrusions, and we don't have enough time and money to litigate every single one of these, and so they're winning through attrition.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, yeah, put up 30-some-odd bills, and, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, it's just no way to win them all, and 30 more next year, and after that. And
it's the same laws. If they don't pass this year, they'll just throw them up next
year. They'll come back.
And they'll just keep coming back again and again.
Absolutely. And so every one of them is important, and... So it's a very important year. What can you do as an average individual? Can one person do something? And I say yes, one person can, but you got to start, and you got to get motivated. You got to join one of the organizations, and get motivated and get united and start taking our state back, essentially. And we can't just sit back any longer because we're going to lose our state, we're going to lose your freedoms, and you're going to be a felon. And
yep.
that'll stay with you for the rest of your
life.
Well, and as much as people, you know, badmouth lobbyists, you know, this, when you get to the gun issue, that's a big one.
That's a big one.
Sam Paredes down there at Gun Owners of California does a great job. And so whenever people say, oh, those evil lobbyists, I always think of Sam. I'm like, sure. Hey, they're not all evil lobbyists. A lot of these guys are trying to keep our rights.
Right. I mean, I guess. It just depends on the lobbying group.
Exactly.
You know, and the cities and counties, you know, in California, they have hundreds of people lobbying for them with your tax dollars. And we have very few pro-gun lobbyists down there. Sam and Tim Macy and those guys in Sacramento for GOC work super hard. And, you know, we would need 50 of them.
Yeah.
But we have to fund them to do it.
True.
Yep. And they, I know, always, you know, you're always out of money. If you're going to fight this many bills, you really got to get your act together.
And don't think your vote doesn't count, because it does count. And we really need help on this one. If you have any questions, go down and see Patrick at Jones Fort down on East Seifert.
And if you live somewhere else,
you
know, go see your local gun dealer and find out what's going on, because they are the most informed about what's going
on
in your local community on gun rights. And that is mostly all for now.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks for being here.
Until we bring back some other depressing topic next week. thanks a lot for being with us. You can get all this information, send the show to your friends and family, wethepeopleradio.us.